That was cool.
Dude, a frog.
Frog baseball! Get him!
Welcome to the Geek Generation, episode 26. I am joined again by Anna Zifkak. How are you, Anna?
Great, how are you?
I am doing well, despite the fact that however many times we say it, the snow just keeps coming.
It does, except I don't know about where you are, but a ton of melting happened last night. We had like a huge thunderstorm, and it poured and poured and poured. So my area looks actually a lot better today, and it's beautiful today. Today is like 45 degrees. And everything's sunny and melting, so hopefully some of that'll happen before it hits us again. I think Tuesday it's supposed to snow again. So
yeah, about probably only a half hour ago, I was outside helping my dad scrape ice off of the driveway because the sun is actually warm enough to melt some of that stuff finally.
Yep, I threw a ton of salt out because my driveway is pretty much a skating rink, so it's extremely treacherous. So this morning when the sun came out, I'm like, oh, I grabbed my salt, threw everything down. And hopefully when I get home, I can maybe ship some of it away before it kills somebody.
Yeah. Yeah, imagine the massive amounts of flooding that are going to happen now as everything's melting.
I'm petrified because, I don't know, I live in a basement.
Oh,
and it
yeah.
has been known to leak. Ooh. Like last spring when all the ground melting happened, mm-hmm. it flooded pretty bad. So I'm sort of in like panic mode.
Yikes.
I don't like to stay away from my home for too long at a time or I'll come home to like knee-deep hell.
Yeah, that's frightening.
Yeah, I think it's still going to be too frozen probably to, I don't think it'll really flood until spring probably because I think the deeper parts of the ground are still frozen.
Yep.
So I'm crossing my fingers.
Yeah.
But it's scary out there.
It is. It's a little frightening, but at least the roads are a lot more drivable now, so I'll
That's
take
definitely
it.
True. Yep. Yep.
On another note, today is the 30th birthday of one of our biggest fans, so I just want to take a moment to say happy birthday to G1.
Oh, sweet.
I know he is listening, and it is his 30th birthday today. As we're recording, probably not when he's listening to this, but as we are recording, it is his birthday today.
Happy birthday, G.
G.
What's up, G?
I like that he's fully embraced the name.
It's beautiful.
It is.
It's a nice name.
It's also Super Bowl Sunday.
It is.
Not that I care. Do you?
I don't. I'm a huge Patriots fan. I love football.
Yep.
I love the Patriots, but once we're out of it, I don't really, I mean, I'm probably going to flip it on, see a couple of commercials. We're doing a pool at work, so I want to know the scores because I'll win some money. But I don't like sit down or like have a party or watch the whole thing by any means. I mean, football for me is like, it's like fun to watch if there's nothing else on.
Yep.
Or I'm completely obsessed with the Patriots, but it's not something I would, you know, I don't really follow other teams too much, so.
Yeah, I used to watch the Super Bowl when I was younger, and then I stopped really watching sports in general, but then I kept watching for the commercials, because that was always talked about the next day. But since everything is so prominent on the internet now, I can pick and choose which commercials I actually want to bother watching the next day, and I don't have to spend, I don't even know how many hours it is watching some boring-ass game.
Yeah, that's exactly what I did last year. You know, I love like the Budweiser Clydesdales, so I always look that one up. I like the Geico commercials, so I try to look those up. But that's exactly what I did last year. I just went on YouTube the next day, and they were all up there, and you got to just watch that instead of like committing yourself to a 3.5 hour. Actually, it's more than that because that stupid halftime show is like 100 years long. So
yeah,
so it's a big commitment for a Sunday night because I got to work tomorrow.
I know, right? And me being in the education field, all the kids come in tired and everything, and that's the last thing you need to deal with.
Yeah.
It's hard enough keeping them awake during class.
I never understood why it was. I mean, I know that all the other games are on Sundays too, but like, wouldn't it just make more sense to have a Super Bowl Saturday, you know, and then everybody can party all they want?
Yeah, but why would they do something smart like that?
Yeah, they wouldn't. Yeah. They're football fans.
I'm
a football fan. That's a terrible thing to say.
It's self-deprecating football fan. Back in college, I used to take Super Bowl night to go out to dinner with my friends Mikey and Stacy because none of us really watch the game. And for people that aren't interested in football, Super Bowl Sunday is the best night to go out and eat because the restaurants are virtually empty.
Really? But the bars would be full, right? So you'd have to go to like a non-bar restaurant?
Yeah. Well, even still, they're not that packed because I think most people still just want to go home and watch with their friends and whatnot. But even if you go to a restaurant where there's a bar or something, you're pretty much going to be sitting far enough away from it so that it's not going to be a huge intrusion on your dinner. And it's, I don't know, it's quick service. It's a great night to go out. And I'm actually, we're reprising that tradition tonight. We haven't gone the last couple of years, but we're supposed to be going out and seeing the Chronicles of Narnia, Voyage of the Dawn Treader, later on instead of the Super Bowl game.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Have you watched the Narnia movies at all? Or
I saw the first one.
Yep.
I liked it a lot. I liked the book, though.
Yes.
And I didn't like Prince Caspian in the book, so I didn't bother going to see the movie.
Oh, okay.
So I'm sort of going with what I think I'll like, so I'm not like, I haven't read Dawn Treader yet, so I don't know.
Well, it's a big time commitment, too, because those movies are long.
They are.
And I love The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe, the book itself. There's not a lot of books I can say that I actually love, but I really love that one. I never really read any of the other Narnia books after that. I don't know why. Maybe I was just about that time I was hitting my anti-reading phase. But I thought the first movie was maybe the most accurate translation from a book to a movie that I've ever seen, but at the same time, it was a little dull.
Yeah.
And I actually watched Prince Caspian this morning because I hadn't seen it yet. It's 2.5 hours long, and that was okay. It wasn't fantastic. There's all this talk about a parallel between the Narnia books and like Christianity, and that Aslan is God or Jesus, and I don't know. In The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe, I don't notice it as much. I mean, I can see what people are talking about, but in Prince Caspian, it was like Aslan is the end-all be-all, and it's kind of obnoxious.
Yeah.
Like, there's so much stuff he can do, and for half the movie, he's not really there when he could have saved all these people, and it just feels kind of silly.
Yeah, it's kind of, it's a really weird universe, like, because he kind of did that in Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe, too, because at the beginning he was, like, nowhere to be found, which is why the Ice Queen took over in the first place.
Right.
But the first book, and I completely forget what it's called, but the first book in that series mm-hmm. was really, really good, and it was about the creation of that world and, like, where Aslan and where the Queen came from. So that was a really good one. You have to look it up and figure out what it's called, but that one would be... That would be a kick-ass movie.
Yeah.
Because it was like an origin story, and it was really, really good. And that was one of my favorite ones, too. So I would love to, but now at this point, I guess it would be like a prequel.
Mm-hmm.
So it would be kind of weird. So maybe in like 10 years, we'll see that one get made or something. Because that was a really good story.
When they run out of all the others.
Yeah.
It made sense that they started where they did, though, because that's what people are familiar with.
Oh, yeah, totally. Well, that's the same with The Lord of the Rings. The Hobbit came first, but, you know, now we're getting The Hobbit, which is going to be awesome.
Right. I'm looking forward to it. But
I cannot wait.
Voyage of the Dawn Treader, I don't know how much I'm going to like. Because if it's worse than Prince Caspian, then I'll be kind of bummed. And the end of Prince Caspian was weird, too. Like, the kids all leave Narnia, and they don't... They're just like, oh, two of them have learned all they can from this world. And I don't know, it just seems odd. And yet I know there's many more stories that happen in Narnia in the future, so...
The kids all go in and out of them, though. I think that's why they chose to do these three movies, because it has the same characters. Because
okay.
You'll hit one that doesn't have them, and they're not in it at all.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so the series is about that universe more so than those children.
Hmm.
So it's kind of weird. They're not in the first one.
Interesting. So. Well, on another note, I tweeted out a picture the other day that I finally got my iPad.
Oh, I saw that on Facebook.
Yeah, I was so excited because it has been over a month. They had it back ordered, and then I think around the 30th or so, it had said that I'd be getting it in like 2 days, And then it kept getting bumped a day every day, and they just hadn't shipped it out yet. I don't know why that was happening. Then all of a sudden they did ship it. Then the shipment got delayed because of all the snow. So this thing has been like a long time coming, and I only got an hour and a half or so to put into it the other day because I don't have a ton of free time. But it's cute. I'm not sure how much time I'm actually going to put into it. I can see like playing around with it when I'm bored, but it's more of like just kind of a fun toy. It's almost a toy instead of like a game. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah. So, it was free for you. So that's
right. Granted, I could have chosen other things, but I was too intrigued by the concept.
Oh yeah. You want to play. I mean, you just got the move. So you want to make sure that you figure out like how that works and on all the different crap it can do. That's totally understandable.
Yeah. Experiment with all different kinds of things. Lastly, before I get into our geekouts and freakouts, I just want to remind everyone that the Escape the Fate Xbox 360 and Kinect package is still up for grabs. I got an email from my contact at the music promotion company. He heard the last show and he heard us talking about the contest. So we weren't sure how many people were entering and everything, so he actually sent me back a number. There have currently been, and this was a couple days ago that he sent me the stat, there are 670 people entered into that contest right now.
Wow.
Yeah, which is not what I was expecting, but
no.
That's pretty impressive. But it's not over yet. If you want to enter and potentially win an Xbox 360 and an Xbox Kinect, go to thegeekgeneration.com. There's a contest banner on the side, and you can click that and enter. And that contest ends on February 14th. So this will probably be your last reminder before it actually ends. So take care of that before you lose your chance.
Sweet.
Yeah. So, geekouts and freakouts. What are you geeking out over this week?
Yay!
Okay, you're not going to want to hear it, but... No, it's not that bad.
Don't say Twilight.
No. I'm geeking out about The Walking Dead, the comic books.
Okay.
I watched the show. It was 6 episodes long, so I was kind of like, yeah, that was cool, whatever, and I wanted more. So actually, the kid that I work with has almost all of the issues, and he lent them to me. So I pretty much devoured them. Mm-hmm. I like inhaled them for breakfast, lunch, and dinner. 2 weeks ago, you know, actually the day I missed your party, I was very, very sick, still recovering from it,
yeah.
And pretty much read those comics in between naps.
Mm-hmm.
And it's unbelievable. I mean, they are so good, you know, and they're like, it's a lot like the show, and it's a little bit more of a social study,
mm-hmm,
on survival. And there are entire issues where there are no zombies at all.
Hmm.
And it's just a story about, you know, a group of people surviving.
Yep.
And one thing that he does that's so amazing is he's really good at having you not be able to figure out what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think when you're a creative person, like you and I, you've ever written, you've ever painted, you've ever, you know, done any of that kind of stuff, you tend to be able to figure things out really easily.
I appreciate that you lump me into the group of creative people.
Well, you are. But like, you know, you get really disappointed because if you figure something out at the beginning of the movie, it sucks for the rest of the movie. You're like, whatever.
Yeah.
I know what's going to happen. It totally ruins it. And like so much media today is like so predictable.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just lame. It just falls short. But this guy, like the way he writes and then the way that the artist does like facial expressions and stuff,
mm-hmm,
like the last page of the issue, somebody will say something and like make a face and you have no idea like what, like where it's going to go. It could go one way or the other and you have no clue. And he's like really, really good at that. And same with like the characters,
mm-hmm,
pretty much besides the main character, Rick, anybody could die. Like, no one is safe. You know, you have somebody that you really got to know really well, and you're like, oh, they're going to keep this guy for, you know, the next 50 issues.
Right.
And the next thing you know, like, he gets, you know, bitten by a zombie or murder or suicide, or you, like, never know what's going
to
happen.
That's always a great door to leave open, because shows like Lost and Heroes had that same thing where anyone was subject to die at any time. Sure, there was, like, a couple main characters, but even the ones that you thought were main characters sometimes became expendable. So when you have that door open, the potential to actually lose characters, the story is so much more interesting.
Oh yeah. I'm completely engaged in this comic. And for one thing, I don't know, like this is really my only, probably my second real comic book series. Like when I was a kid, I read like the Bill and Ted comics and the Alien vs. Predator.
They had Bill and Ted comics?
They did, and they were hilarious and awesome.
I didn't know that.
It was following like the TV show.
Yeah.
Do you remember there was a show?
Yes.
So it was kind of like that animation.
Okay.
And, but they were really cute. It was like time travel comics. They were really cute. I liked them a lot. But I read those, and then and the Alien vs. Predator comics, which came out way before the movies.
Yep.
So I was kind of hoping the movies would follow them, and they didn't, which sucked. Mm. But and then in college, I read Tank Girl, but she's only really got a few issues. She's more like a graphic novel sort of than like. I mean, she had individual short issues, but there just weren't that many of them.
Right.
So this is like the first time I'm really, really hooked on a comic. I don't know how comic book fans do it, because like I got 79 issues all at once,
mm-hmm.
and completely, you know, inhaled them.
Yeah.
And now like I have to wait a month, and I'm like, holy shit. Like, I don't know how people that read comics all the time can wait a month in between issues. I'm like dying to find out what happens next.
Maybe that's why they follow so many different series.
Yeah, maybe just to fill up their time, because right. I don't know what I'm going to do, because like, I don't know if I should just keep waiting for this kid to read them and give them to me, or if I should start collecting them myself.
Yep.
I mean, I'm like 80 issues in, so it's kind of an awkward situation. But I mean, I'm like old school geeking out, like looking up wallpapers, like trying to find t-shirts. Like, I love this comic book. And if they go in the direction they've gone with the book on the TV show, there's going to be no stopping it.
Wow. You've watched the show, I imagine, the majority.
I did. And it's very, very different.
Yep.
It's got a lot of the same characters, but it's got a lot of new characters that I don't know if they're going to show up in the comic or if AMC made them up. I'm not really sure.
Hmm.
I don't know how many issues there are of The Walking Dead, actually. Like, I don't know how far in I am. I know I have 79 issues, but
yep.
I don't know how many. I don't know where they are right now. But, I mean, the setting's very different. And I think it was just hard because they had to come out with 6 episodes to just, like, test the waters. They don't know how people were going to take it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So now that they sort of have the green light, I'm hoping they're really going to go for it.
Well, it's not my thing, but it sounds like it's really interesting for those that are into the comic book or the series to check out one or the other.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. If you like the show, you have to read the comic.
Cool.
And, yeah, that's basically it. But, again, it's more like it's more a story of survival than
yep.
it is of zombies, really.
Well, yeah, it's always way more interesting to do a character study, create interesting characters, and then put them in a setting, then have the story based on the setting.
Right. And even at the beginning of the very first comic, the author talks about how, you know, whenever you watch a zombie movie, it ends and you want to say, well, what happens next? Or what happens to these people? Or
right.
what happens to the world? And he said he has, like, no intention of really ever stopping this. I mean, he's going to have to eventually.
Mm-hmm.
He acknowledges that, but there's no plan for it. He's like, I want to follow these people forever. You know what I mean? Like, so you can keep getting that, like, what's going to happen next? How does it go? I mean, that's how I know Rick's not going to die, because he is the main character.
Right.
But like everybody else, like, how many people is he going to meet? What cities are they going to end up in? They started in Atlanta and now they're in Washington, D.C. So
right,
there's just
right.
like no end to what they can do with a post-apocalyptic world. It's just going to be awesome.
Very cool. Anything else you're geeking out over this week?
This week, that's probably it.
Okay. I have two of them. First of all is that Howard Stern is now on Twitter, which I am very excited about. He had said on his show that he was going to be joining Twitter, primarily just to follow people. But he has, it didn't take him long. He's like, I'm not going to start tweeting. I'm just going to follow people because I don't want to get into that. And he's already started tweeting. He tweeted out pictures of his wife from like a photo shoot. He tweeted pictures from backstage at Letterman, like in the green room. Throws out little things here and there. Today he had a funny one. He was like, oh, today's a big day. And, of course, you think Super Bowl, and that followed up with, I'm finally watching Batman Under the Red Hood. So I love that. I love it just because it's Howard Stern, and I can't get enough of him. So the show is the show, and I love that. But now I have access to him all week long, which is fantastic. But he's been on for 3 days now on Twitter. That's it. And he already has over 115,000 followers. Because
that's
he is,
surprising.
Yeah, he is the king of all media. I mean, I think
that's
he mentioned
sweet.
It last Thursday for the first time, and it's just been a snowball for that. And it's interesting, too, because this brings Twitter full circle around for me, because I originally signed up for Twitter just to follow the Stern Show Twitter account, which originally was Howard's account or anyone that wanted to tweet from the show, but it quickly became just kind of the news. They have a news department there for people who don't know. and the news department pretty much tweets from that account once a day, just giving a quick summary of what happened on the show. So it hasn't really been what it originally was, and that's what initially got me into Twitter, and now I'm like full-blown into it, but having Howard in it now is really cool.
I think it's pretty amusing that he pretended for even a second that he wasn't going to tweet.
Oh, yeah, because his mentality.
He's got the biggest mouth on the planet, so how did he think he was going to keep it shut?
Right. Well, his mentality was that I don't want to tweet out things that I would talk about on the show because I'm wasting material on Twitter. Sirius pays me, so I want to keep content and my thoughts exclusive. But yet, he might have like little things here and there. Like, he tweeted out he's watching Batman Under the Red Hood. It was a good little joke. He couldn't have done that on his show because it won't be Super Bowl Sunday then. So that makes sense to tweet out today, you know?
Right, exactly.
But yeah, I'm just really excited about that. I doubt I will ever get a reply or anything from him, but it's not going to stop me from trying.
No.
The second thing I'm geeking out about this week is I have been listening to the Nerdist podcast for quite a while now. It was one of the first podcasts I really got into. I love it because Chris Hardwick is a fantastic host, and he always has on comedians, which are incredibly entertaining. They like to talk about the methods they use to create comedy, and that's something I'm interested in. So I love listening to that. And every time Chris Hardwick is tweeting about shows he's going to do, I always ask him, are you coming to Boston? He's never really responded to me, but he is finally coming to Boston in April, and I use the code that he tweeted out to get pre-sale tickets, so I'm very excited to report that I will be seeing the Nerdist himself at the Wilbur Theater in Boston this April. Very
nice.
Pumped. Yes. Do you remember Chris Hardwick from the Singled Out days?
No.
No, MTV Singled Out with Chris Hardwick and Jenny McCarthy.
I never had cable growing up.
Ooh.
Yeah, my parents got a satellite dish when I went to college. I was like, great, so I leave and you finally get it. So I was like, awesome. No, I was struggling with rabbit ears all the way until I went to college.
Yikes.
Yeah.
Well, for those of you who don't really see Chris Hardwick around now, he is part of G4. So he's on Attack of the Show constantly, and you can listen to the Nerdist podcast. Just go to Nerdist.com, and you can subscribe there. It's a really great show. And it's one of the most popular podcasts there are. So clearly that shows how well they're doing. That's all I'm geeking out on this week. So what are your freakouts?
Oh, freak out!
All right, I'm freaking out about Donkey Kong Country Returns for the Wii.
Really?
Yeah. It's not so much that I'm not going to say like it's a bad game. I don't like it. That's not what I'm freaking out about. Mm-hmm. But when I was growing up, like my entire life revolved around the Donkey Kong games. They used to call me the Donkey Kong Queen. I could run through those games with my eyes shut pretty much. They were my favorite.
At what point was this? I am not familiar with this whole Donkey Kong Queen persona of yours.
When were those games out? Like I think before I went to college, this was like, I mean, I remember babysitting when I was like 13, I think the second one came out. So This is like, you know, late elementary school, junior high sort of age. And I actually used to bring the game to the kids that I babysat for house. And my whole babysitting gig was me playing through the game because they just like to watch me play it.
That's
because
funny.
I, you know, like when you watch a trailer for a game
And
Donkey Kong just rolls through it with no mistakes.
Yep.
That's like how I played Donkey Kong. Like it was, I just like knew where all the puzzles, you know, I knew how to do everything. I never fell down a hole. I never missed. I mean, I could just like roll through the game. And that's like what me and my mom did for my entire like preteen years.
That's funny.
And she was funny because my mom loves video games too. And she used to like not let me go to bed.
Mm-hmm.
I'd be like, Mom, I have school tomorrow. She's like, not until we get to the save point. And I'd be like, no, seriously, Mom, like I have homework. She's like, no, we're finishing this level. So I pretty much grew up with those games. I've played all three of them like 150 times. So I was like so stoked when the new one was coming out. I mean, I was freaking out. Like I had, I couldn't buy it when it first came out because I like promised my mom she could get it for me for Christmas. So yep. I had to wait till Christmas to get it. But then I started playing it and it's so hard. And I'm thinking to myself, am I like getting to be an old lady? Or, like, is the game actually really, really hard? And I'm also sort of second-guessing my Wii controllers.
Oh.
Because there's, like, a delay. And it's horrible. And it's causing me to, like, fall off cliffs. and like die constantly. And I finally did Google like some reviews on the game, mm-hmm. and everybody sort of feels like me. They're like, it's an amazing game. It's awesome. The nostalgia is perfect. Like the music is perfect. And even like just the animation, I mean, it looks like it came right off of the Super Nintendo. It's like totally kick ass, but it is wicked, wicked hard. And there's like a fine line between being challenged and like throwing your remote control at the TV and storming off.
Right.
You know what I mean? Because like, I literally will be playing it, swearing my head off, screaming at the television, my hand hurts, and my boyfriend's like, Anna, why are you playing this? Like, you're clearly not having any fun at all. Right. You know what I mean? And, like, there's this one level where, well, it's more than one, actually. It's like a style of level where you're on this rocket barrel,
mm-hmm.
and it's kind of like swimming. So you have to pump the A button.
Okay.
Like swimming. Except it's on a rocket, so it's constantly going forward, so you can't rest that thumb.
Oh, my God.
So he's just going forward the whole time, and you can't, like, rest on the bottom. Like, you know when you're swimming, sometimes you can just skim the bottom? Because there's something that'll, like, blow you up at the bottom, and something that'll blow you up at the top. So you can't go too high, you can't go too low. There's things you're dodging in the middle, and it's you're going forward the whole time. So you have to just, like, pump that A button, and The Wiimote has like a sensitive, like if you push it a little bit, he jumps a little bit. If you push it hard, he jumps really high.
Yeah.
So, and the same thing goes with the rocket barrel. So if you push it too hard, you go flying up and hit the thing at the top that's going to kill you. You push it too lightly, you fall and then you can't recover. So my, literally like my hand cramps up during these levels.
Yeah, this sounds like a recipe for carpal tunnel.
It is horrible. Horrible, horrible, horrible. Like, the rest of the levels are hard enough, but those rocket barrel levels, it's like, really, they needed to not do that to people. Because it's pain, it's physically painful.
Right.
And it's wicked hard.
How involved is the motion controller with this game?
Not really much. You can play it two different ways. You can play it with the nunchuck and the motion, or you can play it sideways like an old school controller.
Yeah, that's what I'd want to do.
If you shake it, well, at first I did it with the nunchuck because I didn't realize you could do it the other way, and it is a lot easier. Like holding the thing sideways. But when you shake it, he like pounds the ground. And if you press down while you shake it, he blows. So he can like blow like a dandelion and it'll turn into a coin or something.
Yeah.
And then if you hit forward and shake it, he rolls.
Hmm.
So it, they used it, but they didn't need to. And I think they would have been better not doing it. But again, like I said, with the delay, I don't know if it's the game or if it's my equipment, because I did get my Wii a long time ago. It's pretty old.
Mm-hmm.
So if anybody has any, like, you know, sensor bar cleaning advice or anything for me, like, I don't know if it's the game or if it's my equipment.
Yeah.
But it's, you know the old joke when you're playing Super Nintendo and you, I jumped, I swear I jumped.
Right, right.
I'm like, no, really, I really did. And like, he won't, or he'll fall or something.
Hmm.
And it's just, I think that it's, I'm freaking out because I want to love it. And I think it was, I think it's a good game and I think they put it together well and I like it. But at what point do you say, I just died 15 times. I don't want to play anymore.
Right.
I think it can be too hard because there's being challenged and then there's being really pissed off. And I haven't played it probably in 2 weeks because I'm on a boss guy that I can't get past.
Yep.
And I'm annoyed with it.
Right.
So it's just, like, heartbreaking to me because I'm the Donkey Kong Queen, and I should have beaten it by now, and I haven't.
It is annoying when they make it hard just for the sake of making it hard. And I hate that one of the biggest problems with the Wii and one of the fears I have with things like the PS Move and the Kinect coming into play is that there is a new functionality there. You don't have to use it just for the sake of using it. I mean, Wii has a retro controller. They could have just made Donkey Kong Country Returns a retro game, because I would imagine the people that originally played it, like yourself, really want that nostalgic vibe. So why introduce all these new controller mechanics that you have no interest in? You just want that nostalgia and to play like old school. You want to pick it up again and have it feel like that bicycle that you're riding again, you know?
Exactly. Well, that was the other thing too, which again, I don't know if it's a sensor bar, like, you know, where the old Super Nintendo was just plugged right into it.
Mm-hmm.
But I feel like the delay is killing it for me because, I mean, when you have a controller plugged into a machine, it's spot on.
Right.
There's no excuse to make a mistake. There's no excuse to jump off a cliff, you know, but with this, I really feel like I have to adjust my thumbs to the controller, and that is awkward and uncomfortable for me.
Yeah.
You know, and it's just, it's kind of upsetting.
That's very obnoxious and annoying. I mean, I don't have a Wii, so I wouldn't have played it anyway, but I really enjoyed the original Donkey Kong Country games too, so.
Yeah. I mean, it's a good game. I'd recommend it. But I want to advance and I'm stuck and it's really, really frustrating.
Yeah. Any other freakouts?
That's pretty much it.
All right. Yeah, that's a sizable one. I have two this week. The first of which is I love Netflix. I've been a Netflix subscriber for quite a while now. I started off with two DVDs at a time. I was getting the Blu-rays here and there when they were doing that. I don't get them anymore because I don't want to pay the extra money for the Blu-rays. But Netflix has slowly been changing their goals to become much more of a streaming company and a lot less of a disc-based company. And I like having the physical discs to rent and everything. I have no problem with them going towards an instant streaming thing, but not only do they need to expand the categories or the amount of content that they have, but they need to work more consistently. The instant streaming I never really had issues with. It was great. And when they introduced the app on the PS3, I loved that. It comes in incredibly clear. Awesome. Lately, I have been watching Legend of the Seeker Season 2. And I have been watching it on Netflix, but the last few days, I haven't been able to, because for whatever reason, every time I go to watch the particular series or these certain episodes, it tells me that they are unavailable for whatever reason. They are available to stream. They're just having an issue with those particular episodes right now. And I don't understand what the problem is. That originally started a couple days ago. The next time I logged into my PS3 app, the entire interface for the instant streaming had changed on me to a much more horrible interface than I originally had, a lot more cluttered, and I still can't watch those episodes. Within the last 3 days, I have gotten one episode in, because I guess I just got lucky. All the other content I've gone to seems to work okay, but for whatever reason, that one series, I'm sure there's something else out there that's not working the way it should be either, but I don't know what they're doing over there, and it's really annoying me because I'm just trying to use the service I pay for and watch a show that I want to watch, and I can't, and they don't know why, and I don't know why.
That really sucks. Yeah, that's definitely the problem with all that instant stuff, is the internet is still, I mean, after all these years, it's still really unpredictable.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, there's little software bugs and all that kind of crap that get involved. Whereas, like you said, you get a DVD, you throw it in the DVD player, unless it's scratched, you don't really have any kind of issue.
Right. Yeah, I mean, yeah, if you have a scratched DVD, that's a clear, I see it scratched, I can send this back, or I can clean it, or whatever. When it comes to an instant streaming issue, not a lot is going to happen, I don't think, for a remedy, so... It's obnoxious. And the more obnoxious part is, too, that I could have gotten the disc in the mail within the time that it actually took me to watch one episode.
Oh, yeah. So. And then mini freak out on your, on the way that they, you know, changed your, what did you say?
The interface there?
The interface, yeah. I hate it when they do that. Like, Facebook does that all the time.
Yeah.
They just, like, rant, and then I go on, and I'm like, why, where are my messages? Why can't I check my messages? Like, why do you move things, like, at random for no reason? Like,
right.
There was nothing wrong with it the way it was. And my, I have, like, a realty website that I go to, because I like to look at houses, mm-hmm. so I'm thinking about getting one eventually.
Mm-hmm.
And they did that to me on that, too. So I'm like, okay, it used to tell me, like, how much it was going to be with insurance and taxes, like, estimated included. Like, mm-hmm. they tell you your monthly whatever. And that's gone. So I'm like, wow, you got rid of that extraordinarily helpful feature. Good for you. Like, yeah. Why would you do that? It's like the stupidest thing. It's like they just ran it. And they don't just change one or two things. It's like you all of a sudden log on one day and it looks completely different.
Yeah, I was really annoyed. And it's not like I even saw that there was an update taking place. I just logged in one day and what the hell? It's totally different.
Right. Yeah, that's what the realty website did. And it was fine before.
Yep.
It has no benefits to this new design. Not one. Like, no new features, less features.
Yeah, I agree. And Netflix is constantly having an issue with that. They put a feature out and then they quickly take it away. Like, there was a social aspect to Netflix at one point where you could add your friends and recommend movies to each other. That's gone. They had a Facebook Connect feature where you could share movies that you recently watched. As soon as you rated it, it would post your rating to your wall and your friends could see that. That's gone. And all these things. I don't know. It's just really obnoxious that they have these services that work and they're really good and people seem to be using them, and then they just take them away.
Yeah, that's really dumb.
Yeah. My other freak out this week is Smallville, because I watched this week's episode. Last week, I was upset that they had bumped it back. And this week, I'm upset that the episode just really wasn't that good. I don't know if anyone neglected to tell the writers that this is the last season. Mm-hmm. And they have very precious few episodes left. Let's pick up the pace, guys. I don't know what's going on here. They had a whole episode about being basically in a it was a Matrix ripoff. They were all inside of a virtual world, and it was all about Clark. The whole point of the episode was getting Clark to trust Chloe again. I didn't even know that Clark stopped trusting Chloe, and he was acting way out of character and being totally ignorant, and it was just pissing me off every step of the way.
You've been saying that for, well, since the season began. I don't watch Smallville, but you know, I listened to your show and you've been like, yeah, it hasn't picked up yet. Nope, it hasn't picked up yet. When's it going to pick up? So that sucks.
Maybe I haven't realized how much I've been harping on it. Maybe the season is just not as good as I'm thinking it would be. But I think maybe it's just because it's nearing the end and I have really high expectations.
I think that's probably exactly what it is. I think I've had this discussion with my brother a lot because he's a big movie buff. And we've figured out that if you go into a movie completely blind or mm-hmm. a TV show with no prior expectations, it always ends up better than you think.
Right.
But if you go in a movie thinking, this is going to be the best movie I've ever seen in my life, you know, 9 times out of 10, it's going to fail miserably. So you're thinking, oh my God, the last season of Smallville, it's going to blow my mind.
Right.
And it's not blowing your mind. So.
Well, yeah, the end of last season was epic. The beginning of this season was really good. And then it just started slowing down. They started doing their little, like, gimmicky episodes again. Like, this one was very gimmicky. It was just a Matrix ripoff. And that's not interesting to me.
That's pretty lame.
Yeah. That's all I'm freaking about this week, though. We can take a look at the listener emails real quick. We have a lot of news to go over today, so we'll take care of the listener emails before we take our break. Last week, or actually before I even tell you last week, I got a late email. Normally I don't go back to the things that we asked in the past, but there's a new writer, so I'll give him a break on this one. This comes in from Matthew Boyd, answering last week's questions. He says, A, Dark Knight casting, love it. Anne Hathaway could be the hottest Catwoman yet, although I hesitate to say that because of the lack of mentioning of Catwoman, just Selina Kyle. Either way, I like it. And Tom Hardy, how can you go wrong with Tom Hardy? B, Spider-Man Captain America costumes. Spider-Man, I really can't get into. I'm really upset that they jumped into Venom so quickly in number 3. There could have been a Fantastic Four Spider-Man movie when Peter got the black suit. Now they can't go back to that storyline. Dumbasses. As for, although this is a reboot, so they can do right. whatever they want at this point. As for Captain America, I like it. I'm very happy that they are starting the story at the beginning during World War II. And having seen the shield in Iron Man, you know that there is going to be a major change for the Avengers movie. And speaking of Avengers, any thoughts of DC doing a Justice League movie? The Justice League movie was rumored at one point, and they actually did cast people for it. It just never got off the ground for multiple reasons. I think Smallville was one of those reasons. I think the Batman franchise was another. And I think them wanting to start up the or reboot the Superman and start up the Wonder Woman franchises were other reasons. It makes more sense to do a Justice League movie down the road. I think that was the biggest thing. I can't say 100%, but there was at one point a Justice League movie planned.
Yeah, I don't think that they're quite ready for that because it's, I mean, possible that some of those characters could roll forward. I mean, maybe this new Superman will be amazing. Wonder Woman's pretty much out for now because she's going to have her TV show. So mm-hmm. I can't picture a TV to movie transition. I just can't really feel that. Batman obviously is going to be out for a couple of years. There's
right.
no way, unless they get Christian Bale, which is not going to happen. You can't replace him.
No.
And, so, yeah, you know, 10 years maybe.
They actually did have another person cast for Batman, though.
Really?
They had to. Bale only has a 3-picture deal, and they didn't want to use up the last one on Justice League.
Well, I still don't like it.
I don't like it either, but... The question we did ask last week was, what are your favorite iTouch iPhone apps? Do you have any opinions on this before I read the responses?
I have an iPod Touch. I've had it for a really long time. So when I listened to your show last week, I got really excited and I'm like, wow, because that key key tag or keychain app or whatever Megan was talking about sounded awesome.
Yeah.
And everybody's been talking about Angry Birds, so I was like, okay, cool. My iPod is too old for any of those things, so I like pretty much can't have any apps.
That's sad. It has
app capabilities.
Yep.
But mine was like the first one that came out. I've had it for a long time already, so my software only goes as far as 2.2, and nobody writes apps for that anymore. So I'm now super grumpy.
Oh.
Yeah, I was like, I really want the key app, but I can't have any. So I'm out as far as the iPod Touch goes. I'm old news.
Maybe someday soon you'll be able to upgrade. Who knows?
No, it like can't. It's like,
well, not with that one. I mean, upgrade the hardware.
Yeah. Well, that's the other thing is it's like there. It's really my iPod. I don't have any other iPod. Well, I do have an iPod Nano, but that's like my alarm clock. Mm-hmm. But anyway, it's my iPod and it still works. So until it breaks, I'm not getting any new one.
Yeah, it's not something I would have bought on my own. That's why I said bought, and I hate when I get grammar wrong. But yeah, it was a birthday present. That's pretty much the only way I would have gotten it, which made me that much more excited that I did.
Yeah, and you mentioned last week that you had your regular iPod Classic that streamed music, and then you're going to have this for sort of a mobile device,
right.
which to me, it's like, it is my iPod, so I'm not going to replace it, and it would be just weird to get like a new one just for a mobile device, and I already have one.
Right.
So I'm sort of stuck in a corner. As far as that goes, I'm sort of up against a wall without a lot of choices because I'm just not ready to replace it yet.
Understandable. The responses we did get. First one comes in from Chris Tong. He says, here is a list of my favorite apps for electronics. Yahoo Messenger, Twitter, Facebook, Shazam, YouTube, Yelp, Yellow Book, Stitcher, Maps, which I guess has a cool street view, Vignette, which is a photo editor. All these apps are free, but some are available to buy with a few better options. Also, there are a few live backgrounds that I really enjoy for download. They are Flames, Snowfall, and Thunderstorm. Again, all are free, but if you pay the 99 cents for each of them, you get more options for customizing. Loving the show, Rob. Keep up the good work. His Twitter is @Tonger1. I'm assuming he wanted me to include it in there because he listed it there. So, and yeah, he mentioned the Twitter app. Last week, I had said I was having some confusion on which app for Twitter I actually wanted to use because I was using TweetDeck. That still crashes on me all the time. I was using Echo Phone, which is okay, but I've already ditched that. And I am using the official Twitter app now. I really like it. The one problem I am having with it is it's not allowing me to upload pictures for whatever reason. It says, can't upload at this time. Do you want to save it and do it later? Something stupid like that. And when I do upload, it gives me like an error and the picture's not actually there. I can upload pictures just fine with TweetDeck, so I'm actually using both. I use the official Twitter app for all my major things, and then I go back to TweetDeck whenever I want to upload a picture. It's confusing.
Yeah, when I was looking up apps trying to find one that I could have, maybe, there's a lot of like duplicate ones. You don't really know. You have to kind of look at the ratings to see like which one's the real one, because there's like 5 Facebook apps, and it's like, well, which one is like, you know, by Facebook, because that's really the only one I would probably want.
By Facebook.
Yeah, and it's 4.0 and I can't get it.
Yeah.
I'm like, how complicated does it have to be? It's just Facebook. Like, why can't I just use it? Like, I don't understand really why. And I guess I don't understand the technology behind it and why, like, one will work and one won't for my software.
I guess it's just like
everybody else's.
I'm assuming it's similar to having, like, a program you can use with Snow Leopard, but not something you can use with Panther, if I'm going chronologically correct.
Yeah, I know somebody that makes them, and I guess when they create them, they just don't bother doing any backwards compatibility.
Right. Which is a bummer, but I guess that's what they do to get you to upgrade eventually, you know? Because like you said, it works fine. Why would you get a new one? Well, they're disabling things for you essentially, so you have to kind of feel tempted to keep up.
Yeah, thanks, everybody.
Yeah. Speaking of all the Twitter talk this episode, why aren't you on Twitter yet?
I'm like so anti-Twitter. It's not even funny.
Why?
And I know everybody, because it's too, I mean, for me, it seems like it's too superficial. Like, I can understand you because you like have a show and you like to keep up with like news and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
But like most people I know, like I have this one friend, and I'm only saying this because I know she doesn't listen to your show, but all she fucking does is Twitter, and it's wicked annoying. Like, Twitter is so constant. Like, Facebook is something I can do once or twice a day. Like, I do it in the morning when I have my coffee, mm-hmm. and I do it when I get home from work. But, like, nobody gives a crap if I'm eating lunch at work. Like, nobody cares.
Yeah.
I know nobody cares. I don't feel the need to tell everybody I'm having lunch right now. Like, you know, and, like, this friend I told you about, she'll be, like, in my living room, like, tweeting. I'm like, hi, like, we're hanging out. Okay. So her tweet is like, at Anna's house. I'm like, nobody cares that you're in my house right now. Nobody cares.
See, I don't think you're annoyed by Twitter. You're annoyed by the dumb people who use Twitter.
But I just don't think I have that much to say. I mean, I only post on my Facebook. Like, I check it every day, but yep. I probably only write something every 3 days.
But
like,
it's not even, you don't necessarily have to tweet to be on Twitter. I mean, I started off just following people, and that's kind of how it always starts out. Like, I didn't necessarily have anything I wanted to say. I just wanted to see what other people were saying. And then I started responding to other people, and then I had some thoughts of my own. And then I use it for promotion purposes, and I use it to write jokes and all that stuff. But
I kind of understand that. But I just think for me personally, like, I mean, already, I think, I don't know if it was the last time we talked, but I said something. There's this one girl on Facebook that, like, annoys the crap out of me, too, because she mentions everything she does all day long. Mm-hmm. So I just picture myself going on Twitter and being like, yeah, I don't really care what you guys are up to. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't want to seem mean, but, like, if I want to talk to you, I'll talk to you. Like, I'll text you. You know, like, when I went to that comic book convention, like, I think I sent you a picture of some, like, Batman thing that
right.
I found.
Yep.
You know, so it's like, like, I'm thinking of Rob right now. Like, I'll just send you a text or, like, a message. You know, I just don't feel like I have to broadcast myself on Twitter.
Understandable.
Yeah. But, you know, I mean, and then it's kind of weird. It freaks me out when people, like, combine their Facebook and Twitter, because I'm like, why can't we just have one thing? Like, I don't really understand. You know, it's like everything that Twitter's on Facebook.
Yep.
So why are you Twittering? Like, I don't understand it, I guess, that there's two.
I think it's just, it's partially the efficiency. A lot, I think a big part of Twitter is actually the celebrity element, because you have access to people that you don't on, like, Facebook and stuff.
Mm.
I don't know. And it feels more immediate. Facebook gets so cluttered with other things that Twitter is very simple.
Yeah.
I guess that's a big part of it. Like, you're not going to go play a game on Twitter, you know what I mean?
Right. See, I don't do that on Facebook, so.
Yeah.
I'm sort of a low-level social media user. I'm like, I like to post pictures of, like, you know, what I'm doing and, like, my nephews and my niece, and I like to, you know, throw the occasional thought up there, but, like, I don't use it that often, so well, I guess I just don't.
I'm a self-admitted social media whore, so.
Yeah. But you have good, no, on, like, not to kiss your ass or anything, but, like, you have good content. Like, is this other girl I was talking about, like, posts up literally everything. Like, I'm having dinner with my boyfriend right now. I'm like, great, so am I, but I don't need to tell everybody.
Right.
Like, she talks about nothing all day long. Like, you can tell she gets, like, super excited when anybody posts against, like, something she's saying. You know, she's like, oh, somebody read what I wrote. Like, and I think even you mentioned that, like, social media is extremely narcissistic.
It is.
You know, a lot of people like to just say, people are paying attention to me, and that's what excites them. But, like, you honestly put up content and links and, like, things that people care about that they can ignore if they want to ignore, or right. they can go ahead and, like, follow it through and it becomes something.
Yep.
Like, you hardly ever have, like, a, I'm eating pickles. Like, nobody cares. Like, I just, nobody cares.
Well, I mean, I throw up stuff that I'm proud of here and there. Like, I tweeted the picture of the iPad game the other day because I'd been talking about it. I thought people might be interested for the update. But, right. Like, if I make something I think is really cool, I'll take a picture of it and show it. Like, I think I put, like, a picture of chocolate-covered strawberries up at one point. But I was proud of it, you know? It was something that took me a lot of time, and it was kind of artistic. But I think the problem is Twitter becomes a temptation for your every fleeting thought to get out right. there. And I'm not going to say I'm necessarily a good tweeter, but I do like to think that I have a filter. And sometimes I'm like, oh, I should tweet that. And then I go, wait a minute. No, that's really not, no one's going to care. Like, no one's going to care. I know there's a lot of things. There's very few things that people actually respond to. But some things I think people might at least go, oh, that's mildly amusing, or get a little chuckle out of. If I don't think it's going to entertain anybody, then I try not to say it. But yeah. I do give, like, my movie updates, like, tonight I'm watching this or tonight I'm watching that, because.
Yeah. Well, that's good, because then you can get feedback and, like, reviews. You know, right. if you, like, you say I'm watching this and I can say, Rob, you're going to love it. You know what I mean? Like, that's something that's good. But there's this other kid on there, and all he does is check in places.
Oh my God, I hate that.
You know how you can say it? But that's all he ever does. He never puts up any content at all, except for, I'm at this restaurant.
Right.
I'm at the mall. I'm like, we don't care where you are. Like, why do we care where you are?
He apparently just wants a stalker in the worst way.
Yeah, right. He's like, follow me. It's like, nobody cares where you are, dude. Like,
I kind of want a stalker.
You want one?
I want one. I feel like I'm at a level where I deserve a stalker.
Would that give you, like, your celebrity status?
Maybe.
Like,
I think officially... I need that kind of validation.
That'd be awesome.
I would love
I'll see if I can find you one.
Thanks. Back to the emails. The next one comes in from G1, who says, I think the best iPhone app, hands down, is LogMeIn Ignition. I know what you're thinking. Quote, G1, don't you work for LogMeIn? Didn't you help design the UI of this amazing, groundbreaking, award-winning productivity app? Well, yes, but as a geek, you must admit that regardless of my relationship to the product, the ability to use your phone to remote control your home or work computer from anywhere in the world is pretty geek-tastic. And that is that's a great advertisement right there.
That's awesome.
Yeah, that's an awesome... I've looked at the LogMeIn Ignition app. My only issue is that it costs $30. So, you know, G1, if you want me to get the word out there and promote this app, maybe you can get a guy a promotion code so he can review it or something. I don't know, just an idea.
Yeah, for totally media type review purposes.
Absolutely.
No other purpose.
No other purpose.
No.
The last one comes in from Matt H., who simply lists Angry Birds, Photoshop, and POW Strip Design, which is apparently a comic strip maker. I've never used that, but sounds interesting.
Hmm. It sounds like it would be better for a computer than a iPhone. Sometimes the little keyboard bothers me. I don't know.
Yeah?
I mean, it's just tough.
It is. Here and there. That's why, like, if the program or the app doesn't switch to landscape mode, I get really annoyed.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Because I want to type in landscape. I don't like typing in the regular.
No.
Portrait view.
No.
Wow. First half of the show really long. Much longer than I thought.
I had a couple of rants. It's probably not.
That's okay. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we have a crap load of news. So we will be back in just a moment.
We all know the best podcast in the world is
The Geek Generation.
But what you might not know is there are other ones, such as...
Like you and me, Hector and Todd. Dangerous Memory.
That's right.
We're reviewing the AFI Top 100, and we're bringing you new episodes every Wednesday. Come check us out on www.hectorandtodd.com.
Do you shop on Amazon.com? Would you like to support the Geek Generation while shopping on Amazon.com? Great, because you can do both without spending any additional money. All you need to do is visit www.thegeekgeneration.com and find the Amazon button on the front page. Click the button, do your normal shopping, and check out. You've spent no additional money, but you have earned us a commission. Please make this a regular part of your Amazon.com shopping routine.
Hello, this is Ned Vizzini, author of It's Kind of a Funny Story, and you're listening to the Geek Generation Podcast.
We are back, and like I mentioned before the break, we have a ton of news, so let's jump right in. Top story. MTV announces the return of Beavis and Butthead. In their upfront presentation this past Wednesday, MTV announced that Beavis and Butthead would be coming back this summer. Created by Mike Judge, Beavis and Butthead first appeared in a short called Frog Baseball as part of the MTV animated show Liquid Television. The popularity of the short led to the development of the half-hour show. The original Beavis and Butthead series ran for 200 episodes between its premiere in 1993 and its finale in 1997. In that time, there was also a feature film, a comic book series, and a handful of video games. I, for one, am incredibly excited about this.
I am extremely excited as well. Even though I didn't have cable between 1993 and 1997,
yep.
I really got into them after that, like through DVDs and Friends and the movie. I wouldn't have been like probably allowed to watch them when I was a teenager either, so
yeah.
It kind of worked out. But no, I love Beavis and Butthead.
There were rumors of this happening for a long time, and anyone who saw Jackass 3D were pleasantly greeted by an intro sequence of Beavis and Butthead before the movie.
Yeah, I think the first time I actually heard of it was probably close, like last summer, it was a while ago that they said that it might happen.
Mm-hmm.
So it's awesome to have it be completely official. It's going to be awesome. It's going to be so funny.
You had made a comment that if Mike Judge was attached, then you were on board. I don't know if that's the case or not.
Isn't he do the voice for both guys, though?
He does, but that doesn't mean they couldn't get other people to get pretty close, if not right on.
All right, well, that's going to be the deal breaker for me then.
Right. I would love to know if he was involved. I can't imagine he wouldn't be. And right. I believe the original rumors did say that it was his interest in bringing them back. So I really just hope he is involved, because that will make or break the series.
Absolutely. Yeah, they can't do that without him, yeah. I wouldn't think.
Angry Birds, speaking of. Rovio's blockbuster smartphone and tablet game that has become a global cultural sensation, and Rio, one of the year's most anticipated motion picture events, are joining forces to create a new game, Angry Birds Rio, representing a first-of-its-kind game development partnership between Rovio and 20th Century Fox. Angry Birds Rio will launch with 45 dedicated levels and will regularly add new levels via app updates. The game will be available for download on smartphones and tablets worldwide. I just started getting into Angry Birds recently. I really like it. I really want to see Rio when it comes out. I think it looks good. So this seems like an incredibly logical crossover, because Rio's a bird. Angry Birds is a game about birds. Why not?
Absolutely. I agree. I can't play Angry Birds, but I love the Ice Age movies. Yeah. I know. I'm really bummed out. Oh. It's your fault.
I know.
But Rio looks awesome, and I love the Ice Age movies, so it seems like it's an extraordinarily smart move. I think people that were happy probably with their Angry Birds app will now undoubtedly upgrade and get a new one, so yeah. That was brilliant marketing genius.
Yeah, very, very smart on both their parts. NBC cuts the Cape episode order to 10. Not so good news from NBC, as the network has cut its order for the Cape episodes from 13 originally to now 10. The series premiered in January with less than 9 million viewers, but Monday's episode got only a 1.5 rating and 5.3 million viewers. It doesn't mean that the series is canceled yet, but it's not looking good. I'm assuming you haven't watched the Cape.
No, it looks too generic for me. So if I'm any kind of a judge, maybe that's why they don't have an audience. It just looks too, I mean, the Cape.
Yeah.
It just seems way too absolutely completely lame. I just didn't have any desire.
As I mentioned before, there are a lot of good potential things there, but they're going about it totally wrong. And like you said, it really just comes off as generic. So I really don't think the series is lasting.
No, and I read some reviews for it because I've been wrong before. I don't admit it very often, but the reviews all said exactly what I thought was going to, you know, happen. They're like, yeah, it's, cheesy. They said the dialogue is really bad. And one thing I read is that they bring a new villain in like every episode. How can you keep up with that?
That's not entirely true.
All right.
There is still the main villain is like a Lex Luthor-ish type, owns the company, owns the police force, and is the same guy who framed the Cape. So they do have one constant villain. He brings in different thugs and stuff.
All right.
But it's not hard to keep up with the Rogues Gallery or anything. And there have already been recurring people. It's 5 episodes so far.
Okay.
So, yeah. Let's see. This was another big one. Nick Fury cameos are confirmed for Thor and Captain America. Samuel L. Jackson appeared on Late Night with Jimmy Fallon and confirmed that Nick Fury will be making cameo appearances in both Thor and Captain America the First Avenger. I'll play exactly what he said on the show, because I pulled that audio, so take a listen.
You have a 9-picture deal with Marvel Studios to play Nick Fury.
Yeah, I've done what, 2 of them?
2 of them now.
Yeah.
I mean, because every time I've seen them come on, it just gets crazy applause, no matter what theater I'm at, where I'm at. It's a fun gig.
Yeah, it's mad happening. But everybody loves Nick Fury. I'm like the first black Nick Fury, so it's all cool.
Yeah.
It's been like David Hasselhoff and somebody else, now it's me. But I got to do, in the next month or so, I have to do one day on Thor, and I got to do another day on Captain America. And in April, we start the Avengers, the big deal with everybody.
People are
So yeah, Samuel L. Jackson confirming he will be a part of Thor and Captain America, and I'm pretty sure he just said, it's man happening.
It's man happening.
Man happening.
Man happening. I don't know where the hell that comes from. Maybe I am behind in the cultural hip speak, but I've never heard the term man happening before. Or maybe it was just a slip man. Up, but it didn't sound like a slip up.
It's man happening.
Everything he says sounds awesome, though, so it doesn't matter.
I know. It did sound kind of natural, but even for Samuel L. Jackson, that's a little off. Also, he mentioned that he'll have a female sidekick for the Avengers who will be with him all the time. And I pulled that clip as well. Take a listen.
Well, you're going out. I heard you're going out to read with some actors.
Yeah, I got a screen test like 5 actresses on Friday. They have this new character that's, I guess, my sidekick or something that's with me all the time. So they're auditioning girls for it.
Some secret good stuff. If we were at Comic-Con, it would be a riot right now.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
We'd be going nuts. Yeah.
There are some rumors going around about that already, but we'll talk about that a little later on. Next story, Marvel vs. Capcom 3 adds the Sentinel, and I have no idea how to say this. Is it Zion Ko to the roster?
I don't know. I don't know her.
Yeah, she's from Darkstalkers, I guess. The roster continues to grow as Marvel vs. Capcom 3 has revealed 2 more fighters. On the Marvel side, fans will be happy to see the return of the rocket-punching Sentinel, and on the Capcom side, Zion Ko from Darkstalkers. I don't know. I've seen that character before, but I have no idea how to say the name. And Sentinel, I think everyone was talking about from the beginning of the game's announcement because he's some sort of fan favorite.
He takes up the entire screen.
He does. It's really funny.
It is.
But, Rocket Punch. That's all I hear every time I play him.
When is that game coming out and what is the count? Now, I mean, it seems like pretty much every week you're adding a couple people.
I know. I don't know what the count is, but the game is due out within the next week or two.
Wow.
Yeah, I'm
so there
pumped.
Can't be too many more surprises.
No, they've also announced, well, this was announced before, but Jill Valentine and Shuma Gorath are both the first DLC. If you pre-order the game or the special edition of the game, you get them right away. If not, you have to wait like a month to buy them.
Oh.
Yeah. I don't really care about either of those characters, so I probably won't be buying them, but this is a game that definitely has a lot of potential for downloadable content, so
absolutely.
I'm sure we'll see even more characters in the future, but they're very smart about marketing this. They've been rolling out new characters for, I don't know, half a year now, if not longer, and it's keeping it in the public eye.
Definitely.
Smart.
And it's been such a long time since 2 came out.
Yeah.
You know, people are already drooling over it, so they're just, you know, baiting them.
Absolutely. This last story is one I am really kind of pumped about. I just think it's awesome on many different levels. Sony's San Diego studio is taking a rare step to allow gamers with disabilities to play MLB 11, a one-button gameplay mode. In the Association for Disabled Virtual Athletes mode, AI will handle the fielding, and players only have to press one button in order to swing the bat or pitch, allowing gamers who might not be able to throw a baseball to wield a DualShock controller with ease. The mode was inspired by Hans Smith, a baseball superfan with cerebral palsy, whose limited mobility made it impossible for him to play real baseball and difficult to play video game baseball. Sony San Diego added him to last year's MLB game as an avatar and went one step further this year with the disability-friendly gameplay mode. That's awesome.
It really is.
I wish that so many more video games had some sort of ability to play for people who were disabled, because people who are homebound or just can't do a lot of the things they do, one of the biggest draws of video games is really to just be in that fantasy world and do the things that you normally couldn't. So to enable some of those people who can't go into this fantasy world and even do that is awesome. I love this.
Yeah, it's a really good idea. And to sort of expand on that too, there was a link that went to an article about somebody who designed a one-handed controller also.
Oh, yeah?
It had 5 like little modules, and they each had a function. So it was like a D-pad, some buttons on these 5 modules, and you could actually pop them out and move them. So you could sort of design it to like whatever game you were playing to have, you know, the fingers that you were best at or whatever, be able to hit those buttons. So these little things pop out and you can switch them, but it's got 5, so 1 for each finger. And That looked really awesome too. So,
do you, remember what that was called? Or
I don't. I think it's at the bottom of your link though, so I can see if I can find out real quick.
Okay.
Innovating E-Dimensional Inc., a developer and manufacturer of innovative gaming accessories, has just released the innovative new Access controller, designed by renowned modder and Games for Health convention keynote speaker Benjamin Heckendorn. The Access controller features a patented new modular control design, each control function found on a regular gamepad, including analog sticks, D-pad, shoulder buttons, action buttons, etc., is accessible and built into its own slot and positioned in the layout of a hand. Additionally, each module can easily be removed or rearranged to suit any gaming style or need. The concave design rests comfortably on a leg or a table and provides proper balance and resistance for optimal responsiveness. Disabled gamer James Manhalter of Alabama said, "Video games became a way for me to escape the pain of my injuries, the grueling horror of my recovery, and the depression that sometimes comes with a lifelong disability. Gaming can be very important for someone like me." They have it to go on a guy that lost most of his left hand in the army, and he couldn't play video games when he got home. And so he got this controller, and he was now able to do that.
That is awesome.
Yeah.
I love that. Very, very cool. In addition to the news, we have a lot of stuff going on in rumors on the internet now. So in Rumor Central this week, the first of which is a reference to what Samuel L. Jackson talked about before. The female sidekick that Samuel L. Jackson was referring to on Jimmy Fallon was originally speculated to be Janet Van Dyne, a.k.a. the Wasp, but Deadline is reporting that the role is actually S.H.I.E.L.D. agent Maria Hill. Furthermore, it would appear that the frontrunner for the role is Kobe Smulders from How I Met Your Mother, and a deal could be done by the end of this weekend.
It could be not a rumor very soon.
Yeah, well, yeah, I mean, I was neglecting. I wasn't sure if I wanted to include that in the show, because by the time the show actually goes live, that signing could be done. But I think that's really cool. I think she's a great actress. So, yeah, it'll be cool just to have another female character on the Avengers roster, really, because right now Scarlett Johansson is the only one.
Yeah, I don't watch How You Met Your Mother, but she definitely has the look. She looks like a tough leader type person, like based on the pictures. I mean, not the ones from How You Met Your Mother when she's laughing, but
right.
But there's certain pictures of her modeling where she looks definitely like she could have that, you know, gorgeous but stern leadership, you know, face. So she definitely has the look.
Yeah, and she was on a short list of actresses being considered by Joss Whedon for the Wonder Woman movie when he was involved with that. So she's kind of been in this whole superhero rumor mill for a while now.
Yeah, I could see her in that role.
Yeah. The next one is Joseph Gordon-Levitt is reportedly in talks to reunite with his Inception director Christopher Nolan in The Dark Knight Rises for Warner Brothers. Gordon-Levitt has not officially been cast, and as of yet, there's no studio confirmation that he is even being sought to appear. That said, the actor has preemptively been the subject of much internet speculation regarding who he might play in the DC Universe, and as such, has proven himself popular with the Nolan fans. So, I mean, I love Joseph Gordon-Levitt. To have him involved with a Dark Knight movie, a Batman movie, I love that idea. Originally, way back, they were rumoring that he might be playing the Riddler. Obviously, we know that's not true at this point, but who he might play, I don't really know. There's a lot of speculation going on. Some people think we're going to get an older version of Robin or perhaps Nightwing, even though Nolan said he never wanted to use Robin, but I think that was partially he never wanted to use like a little kid out with Batman because it didn't make sense, but maybe bringing in an older version of Robin or Nightwing would be cool. I don't know, but I'm just glad he's involved. If he really is, this is all rumor. We don't know.
Right. Yeah, no, he's a great actor. I think on an acting level, he was probably my favorite in Inception.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, it was kind of funny, the article that you posted. I read a lot of the fan comments, and it's really funny if you get a chance to audience.
Oh, fan comments are always funny.
So funny. But the more I thought about it, and the more I tried to figure out what do I think, it's like you can't because Nolan does the weirdest things and they always work out. So you just have to go, okay, cool. But I mean, Heath Ledger is the Joker. Nobody would have ever put those two together. So you really can't speculate on who he's going to be because he could pop him into a role that he totally apparently doesn't fit into and he'll make it work.
Right. And it's the same thing with Tom Hardy. When people were speculating what villain Tom Hardy would be playing, I don't think anyone thought about Bane.
Right. So it's kind of silly even to guess, but the comments are really extraordinarily amusing. So if you get a minute, click on it and read it because it's hilarious.
Last thing in Rumor Central. Variety is reporting that three actresses are in contention for the female lead in Zack Snyder's The Man of Steel, though the role is not Lois Lane. Alice Eve, Diane Kruger, and Rosamund Pike have emerged as the three actresses being considered for the unknown character, which speculation is suggesting will be the villain Ursa, who appeared in Superman 2 as General Zod's second-in-command. Following the press conference for her latest film, Unknown, Diane Kruger simply stated it's not true in response to the rumors of her involvement with the casting. Fans might remember that Eve and Pike were both up for the role of Emma Frost in X-Men First Class, but both lost out to January Jones in that one. So, a lot of the same names being tossed around, Kruger already disqualifying herself from the running, but that doesn't mean it's actually not true. Sometimes people say things. Again, Nolan is the godfather of this particular Superman reboot movie, or I don't even know if I'm going to call it a reboot, whatever it is, and he likes to play the guessing game. So, I don't know where these reports are necessarily coming from. I mean, it is from Variety, but where are they getting their information? I don't know. As far as those people for Ursa, I don't know if that's even the role they're going for. This whole thing is just so out there. There's so much, it's confusing. Rumors are tough to report on.
They are, and looking up each woman's background, it's like it seems like they're going for relatively unknown, not anything. I mean, I guess She's Out of My League was probably the most recent and biggest movie out of all three of those women and what they've done, but relatively unknown and just three gorgeous blondes as far as I can see. I could care less which one ends up with the role. I mean, they're three pretty blonde mediocre actresses.
Yeah.
So whatever.
Yeah.
But that works for, I think that works for a female in a Superman movie probably.
There was some concern that Lois Lane wouldn't be involved that much, but she will be in the movie in one form or another. How big a role Lois will have, I don't know. But either way, that does lead me to this week's poll question. I would like to ask the audience, who do you want to see as Lois Lane in The Man of Steel? These three actresses are up for, who knows, maybe Ursa, maybe something else. I don't really know. There's a huge list of people out there who could play the role of Lois Lane. We've seen various people actually play the role of Lois Lane. I've heard people speculate on who they would like to see, but I would like to hear from the audience. Who do you want to see as Lois Lane in The Man of Steel? Send your answer to podcast@thegeekgeneration.com or @geekgeneration on Twitter. Any opinion off the top of your head for that? Or
no, I'll have to think about it.
Yeah, I have to think too. I asked the question, but it's before I even gave it a lot of thought myself. So I'll think about it too and give my answer next week, I suppose.
Make sure I email in.
thank you. Well, then we're pretty much at the end of what we had planned today. So do you have a final thought or something you would like to plug before we get out of here?
I do have one final thought.
Sure.
Because you kind of skipped over the Samuel L. Jackson, Nick Fury thing a little bit.
Okay.
But apparently he was in an alternate universe comic book with the Transformers. So I think in order to save the third one, they should throw Nick Fury in Transformers 3. that would just seal the deal because it's probably going to suck otherwise. So I say Samuel L. in Transformers from now on.
That'd be great.
Yeah.
I'm actually glad you brought up Nick Fury again because I glossed over one of my own points I meant to say too, is that Nick Fury is definitely a cameo in Thor and Captain America, but remember that Captain America takes place during World War II.
Yep.
So that means, I don't know, I'm still guessing that the Cap movie ends with him being frozen or something, because that's the general origin of how he gets from, or the general story of how he gets from his time period to ours. And maybe Fury's in one of those post-credit scenes where they find Captain America in a block of ice or something like that.
Well, he lives forever, though. Nick Fury does.
Nick Fury lives forever?
He takes some kind of, I guess there's one comic where he takes some sort of medicine. It's like called Infinity Solution or something like that. And he's like supposed to be over 100 years old.
I am not familiar with that, but
wow. Google it, man. So I'm thinking maybe they'll go in that direction. So either way, I think they could go. But it'd be kind of friggin' awesome if you could see him like at the same age and then like wonder how he, that'd be kind of cool.
That would
be kind
of cool.
How he's still functioning, you know, 60 years later.
Right.
But it's because he takes this Infinity Solution stuff.
Huh. Yeah. Interesting. All right. Anything you'd like to plug then before we get out of here?
No, that's pretty much it. Keep up the good work.
Alrighty, thank you. I asked the fans, if you like the show, please tell your friends. We were increasing in our fan base and our listener base for a little while. We've kind of plateaued. The only way we're really going to get new people listening to the show or visiting the site is if, I mean, I'm doing all the promotion I can, but I can't do it without all your help. So please post articles to your social media outlets or tell people about it, word of mouth, all that stuff. If you want to visit the site and see any of the articles we talked about today or just the articles that we've written in the past, you can go to www.thegeekgeneration.com. On the side, there is a button to subscribe in iTunes where you can rate this show or write a review. Let me know what you think of me. There's also a donation button if you ever want to send me money. I'm not expecting it, but you never know. If you have any questions, comments, insults, or topics you'd like us to discuss on a future show, you can send those to podcast@thegeekgeneration.com or @geekgeneration on Twitter. If you'd like to submit an article to the site or an audio file to this show, you can send those to guest@thegeekgeneration.com. And as always, the show theme is provided by Machine Supremacy. A link to their site can also be found on our site. So episode 26 wrapping up. And all I can say is it's man happening.
It's man happening.
Really. We will see you all next week. Adios. Bye-bye.